and to still be doing our best to lift up Jesus and live for him and follow him. Praise God. Amen. Now, John 15 said, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. Amen. And his desire is that the fruit might remain. Remain. That's real important. I'm going to just, let's just go there in our Bibles this morning and let's talk about this fruit bearing process. This is God's will for every child of God without exception. There's no one that is exempt from his eternal purpose in your life. And by the way, his eternal purpose is not just to save you from hell and get you into heaven. Amen. Heaven is not the grand goal of the Christian life. Now, see, I'm going to have to biblically substantiate these statements, and you know I'm going to. But I make statements sometimes that get people's attention because I want you to understand what the Word of God has to say about things that we may not even be looking at in the way God wants us to see them. Heaven is not the grand goal of the Christian life. That is not number one with God, is getting you to heaven. Amen. In fact, Jesus didn't put the... Jesus talked about escaping hell more than he talked about going to heaven. Hell is mentioned more times by Christ than heaven is in the New Testament. It's a good thing Jesus talked about it because we got preachers today that would never mention that place. And yet everyone who is unsaved is headed for that place for eternity. It is one of the least accepted and least preached messages that there is in all of the Bible, that there is a place of punishment that is eternal, that you never get through being punished throughout all eternity. That's heavy stuff. It's just as much a truth as a place called heaven where you're eternally blessed. The gates of hell are just as real as the gates of Pearl. Amen? There's no difference biblically. People put the emphasis where we want to put it, but God doesn't do that. There's a balance in the Lord. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. There's a perfect balance. You can't have a good God without a God who's going to judge the wicked. You can't have a loving God without a God who is angry at sin. Amen? Can't have it both ways. You can't have a God that's going to just embrace you every Sunday without a God who's going to chasten you when necessary. You can't be a spoiled child. If you've got a preacher that just preaches the love of God, he's spoiling the church. Not bringing them into Christ like there's no purging word. No purging word, you're never going to deal with issues that God wants to address. God loves you. He wants to be glorified in your life. He wants your faith to grow. He wants to be your source. Yes. He wants people to know what he can do, and he wants you and I to be an example. Amen. Can you say amen? Yes. But the world has a substitute for everything that God has promised. Everything. Amen. God promised to meet our needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. The world has a credit system. If you got plastic, you can meet your own needs. Amen. I got plastic, I know. And it has got me in trouble more than once, more than twice, more than three times. It's so available. It's so simple. It's so easy. Amen? If you put the credit card on the shelf for a month and start paying cash for everything, it's amazing how you think about it before you spend it. In fact, if you put the credit card on the shelf and use cash for a month, you probably couldn't get through the month. Some of us, because we're dependent on that other thing, and we all know, I'm not chiding anyone, I'm in this boat with you. Say, he's in the boat with us. See, so I want you to understand, I'm in the boat with you. Amen. Unless you're exceedingly rich, they say, cut them all up. Well, what happens when you need tires? We might have to trust the Lord. I don't know. We'll have to do something, wouldn't we? Amen. What I'm saying is anything can become excessive. The world has a substitute for God's legitimate blessings. Average credit card debt in America is around $10,000. Some people 20, some people 15. That's the average in America is $10,000. Right now, Barack Obama is talking to the banking system because if you're late on a payment one time, even though you've been faithful for 12 years to meet the payment on time, but you're late one time, they can raise your rate from 17% to 30% and hold it there. It's an incredible thing that they can do. This is where they make their money. Not too long ago on one of the news broadcasts, they had a lady, and she was a professor at a college on economics, and she was talking to people in the banking industry, CEOs and high-ranking people in the banking. You want to get purged in your heart today? You want to be challenged? A while ago, you acted like you really wanted that. Praise God. So let's go into this, and let's see what God has in our hearts today. Can you say, man, the world has a substitute for everything that God and Christ has promised you and me. We need to quit leaning toward the world's substitutes. We need to start really receiving legitimately from the Lord. If we can't legitimately receive from the Lord, then we need to be very honest and ask why we can't receive. If it's a faith issue, God will help us to build our faith. If it's something in our heart like unforgiveness or a double-mindedness, you know what double-mindedness is? One day I'm trusting God and talking about my faith in God, and the next day I'm looking to the world's substitutes as my source. You can't talk about trusting God one day, amen, and then be looking to the world the next day. You have to make a decision about that. You have to take a stand about that. There's some things that I could use other means to achieve, but I really want God to do certain things. When we came here to this property, I wanted God to do it in a way that it defined God's will, that it didn't just give us what we were looking for, but it defined God's will. I did not want, amen, it to work out in a way that I pulled the necessary strings to get it done through our credit. Amen. We had people here willing to sign with me, put their houses up, amen, to get this piece of property. And people volunteered and said, I will sign with it and as a sign, you know, a co-sign for the property. If more credit is needed, I will personally co-sign. And what a blessing it was to have people have that much confidence in the ministry and that we were going to go forward to offer to co-sign. But I want you to hear me very much this morning, very clearly this morning. I did not want to get anything that I believe God wanted us to have that way. It's a way to do it, but I wanted to know it was God. And that's why I turned it loose completely. Said, if it's God, it'll come to pass. If it isn't God. And when they told me there is no way because these people were burned by a deal they made, holding a note for somebody, they were burned. And when I talked to them, the realtor, he said they will never hold a note again. They want cash. You have to figure out your own finance. And I said, well, we've had a snag with the bank because commercial loans are in a different category than personal loans. I have great personal credit. This is not about my personal credit rating. This is about a corporate loan. And there's X amount of people and all of these things. And they want all this in place and that in place. And that's before it tightened up. That's when it was a lot looser. But it was tight for us to be able to finance something through the banking system. It got complicated. It got to where they needed things that we just couldn't hardly provide for them. And so I just called up and we backed off. We could have pushed forward. We could have had people sign. We could have said, we're going to get this. We're going to do this, and called it faith. You know, there's more faith than just saying, if it's God, he'll have to address this, than there is to, let's see how we can make this happen. And call it God. Can you say amen? Honestly believe if you jump into something that isn't God and you get ahead of him, and every Sunday you spend the first 30 minutes of every service raising funds to meet the bills, so we can't even preach the gospel, I don't see how God could possibly be in anything like that. Or what kind of honor or glory that could bring him. How many times have people finally come to church and come right when there's a fundraising push? Or maybe they're switching through the channels and they happen to hit it on a fundraising day and they hear nothing about Jesus and the cross and sin and their salvation. All they hear about is we need money. And they get the impression, and who wouldn't if you don't understand things? And who wouldn't that these people are on the air for one reason, to merchandise me? They don't care about my undying soul. Amen. I do not like to listen to any Christian TV during the fundraising. That's just me. I don't like any of it, period. None of it. Because I like to hear about Jesus. I just don't like to hear about fundraising. D.L. Moody was told, after Moody Bible Institute and the Great Chicago Fire burned to the ground, we need to rebuild. I believe God wants us to rebuild, he said. But he said, I am not a fundraiser. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean it's wrong to raise funds, but when raising funds is the primary thing and the preaching of the gospel is secondary, something is desperately wrong. And you cannot convince a gainsaying world that you're concerned about where they're going to spend eternity. Can you say, man, if you take a tape of this ministry to someone or someone comes here, amen, like your friend did from work, they didn't hear about fundraising for a building fund. They heard about Jesus. They heard the word of God. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. George Mueller was called and anointed of God to do mission work in terms of children, feeding children. Amen. George Mueller never had a fundraising campaign, but he never went without funds. And I believe it was Mueller that said, if you do God's work, God's way, you'll have God's provision. Everybody say, God's work, God's way, have God's provision. Say it again. God's work, God's way, you'll have God's provision. Hallelujah. I want you to say that again. God's work, God's way, will have God's provision. He would be foolish not to provide for someone doing his work his way. Can you say amen? But when we... Literally, as Tammy Baker said one time back when more and more people were coming into the television ministry, she said the media pie, the television pie is being cut in too many pieces in order for everybody to receive an offering from a listening base, amen, then the amounts are being narrowed as some other preachers come on the air. I cannot believe that God would raise up a ministry to pull funds from another ministry he's raised up. Remember what Paul said? He said, I've strived not to preach where Christ was already preached, nor to build on another man's foundation. I have seen evangelists come into town and go to several huge churches, get a huge following to their ministry because they implied if what's happening in my ministry don't happen every Sunday in that pastoral ministry, then that church is dead. And then what they would do after they got the following and pastors were gracious enough to let them come in and preach all over town, what did they do? In that very town, they build their own church and pull the people from the other churches. You think God is not in something? I have strived not to preach where Christ was already preached, nor to build on another man's foundation. Listen carefully. God wants to purge us from depending on the substitutes that the devil and the world offers us. Amen. He wants to get us back to a pure faith so that he can actually meet our needs. What did you do, brother? Did you claim the word, stand on the word, bind the devil? No, I just let go. I said, God, if you want us to have this, you will make a way. If you don't want us to have it, now here's the hardest thing to say. If you don't want us to have it, I don't want it. Well, see, you probably want it. That's why you're going after it. And you probably want it for the glory of God, so say you. Did you know some people wanted to be international ministers for the quote-unquote glory of God? But God didn't want them to be an international minister. And if they couldn't be an international minister, they didn't do anything. Amen. How many know if you want people to see you and applaud you and look at you as some great thing, that's not for God's glory? I remember when John Osteen, not Joel, John, his daddy, pastor, man, when he had the first 10,000 people attending church, there was a retired admiral from the United States Navy attending church. And he come and ask him, what can I do to help? He said, well, we got a huge staff. We got people to do everything. He said, I appreciate your offer, but I don't know what there is for you to do. I mean, we got counselors. We got people who do this and that. He said, actually, the only area in our church that we have any need at all is someone to clean the bathrooms after the services and stock, make sure they're stocked. And he said it jokingly. And this admiral, retired admiral in the United States Navy. How many know that a commissioned officer doesn't even eat with the rest of the people? He don't even go over there and eat with them. He eats in a different place. He doesn't fraternize with the rest of them. His job is dignity and respect. And you know what this man did who had given his heart and life to Jesus and didn't care about all of that stuff anymore? Just pleasing God was what it was all about. I see some people that never seem to get excited when anyone else preaches, but when they preach, it's not Sean. He gets excited sometimes even when I preach. Praise God. But, amen, listen to me. I've seen people that never got excited till they take a microphone. But you give them a microphone and suddenly they come alive. They don't even amen till you give them a microphone. When you give them a microphone, it's like they illuminate, they light up like somebody just plugged them into a receptacle over here. Can you say, man, take the microphone away and there's some of the deadest people to preach to that you'd ever want to see. Amen. I'm not crazy about preaching to preachers, to be honest with you. Can you say, because some of them don't get excited until you give them a microphone. And they need to quit that. That's nonsense. Can you say, man, we all need the Word of God. We all need to be challenged. We all need to be changed. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's hard to preach to the choir. Because they think I'm okay. I got everything I need. That's for those sinners out there. And if the sinners ain't out there, then there's nobody to preach to. Can you say, man? But the choir needs to be preached to every single Sunday. Because the choir is not just like Jesus yet. And until the choir is just like Jesus, it's okay to preach to the choir. Amen. You say, preacher, I've heard all that. You're preaching to the choir. Does that? Oh, well, listen, the choir needs to be preached to. The ministers need to be ministered to. I need the challenge in the Word of God. When I hear a challenging word, I try, if I have time, to stop my car, pull it over, to stop what I'm doing and listen. Have you ever, in the course of a day, stopped what you're doing to be challenged? Do you ever? Is there anything? Would you ever stop for the Word of God? Even to sit down and read and be challenged? This is how He purges us, is through His Word. Every branch that beareth not fruit, or that beareth fruit, He purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. And every branch in Him that beareth not fruit, He cuts it off. If you're a Christian, you are a fruit bearing branch without exception. You can't be changed. His seed can't remain in you without the Holy Ghost producing some works. Can you say amen?
Yes, amen?
We're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any works do not save you, but works do, amen, confirm your salvation. Amen. The next verse says, for we are created unto what? Good works. Praise God. And men will what? See your good works. The product of the Holy Spirit at work within you. Changing you. Amen. And they'll do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it all starts with the Word of God. All of it starts with the Word of God. Without a purging word, there will be no fruitfulness in our life that is sustained and continued and progressively. Amen. We don't become more like Jesus. We become more like, amen, Christians that are so used to the whole thing that we're not enthusiastic and unmoved unless God comes down and smacks us with some kind of anointed touch. And I've been in Pentecost for 40-something years. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting a little bit of an attitude toward all of this. Amen. It's not how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when you come down. And more than just straight, it's how consistently you walk when you come down. Amen. If you have to have a spiritual high every Sunday, and you don't understand what's taking place when the Word of God is being brought to you, there's a terrible flaw in your understanding of what brings maturity and growth in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Desire what? Primarily the sincere milk of the Word, that you may what? Remain the same, get a wonderful blessing, and then go right back in the same life patterns? No, that you may grow thereby. He has set in the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Fivefold ministry for one purpose. Fivefold ministry for one purpose. Everybody say the fivefold ministry is for one purpose. That means everything that the apostle, the evangelist, if there are evangelists come that have no purging word. There are evangelists whose whole ministry is healing. There's no such evangelist like that in the Word of God. Can't find one of those in the Bible. Did you know someone like that could have never wrote the seven messages to the seven churches that God wanted to purge and purify in Asia? If you're a prosperity minister, you can't preach a purging message. Some ministers actually said, I'm only called to teach faith. There's nobody in the Bible just called to teach faith. Amen? Nobody. It's not in the book. Amen? There's no faith healer in there. If you preach at all, you're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Some people just got into casting out devils. They just have deliverance ministry. Nothing else. That's not in the Bible either. Can you say amen? There's no deliverance ministry. There's deliverance in here through ministers. But the ministers are called in the fivefold ministry, amen, for one great purpose to the church. And it's to purge us and purify us. Mature us and grow us. To perfect that is lacking in our faith. Is that to bring us to a place of faith that we can trust God exclusively for everything? No, our faith embodies the truth that was delivered to the saints. That truth, amen, reveals that God wants to do more for us than just give us things or give us what we think His will is. He wants to mature us to the place till we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. All things don't work together for good just because you're Christians, because you're lined up with God's eternal purpose. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? All things don't work together for good just because you have great faith in God, but because you're yielding and surrendering to His eternal purpose. Put it in context. Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. How did Jesus learn obedience? Wait a minute. We're going to be conformed to the image of His Son, but we don't want to, amen, face anything that causes us to be purged and purified. Listen to me. We want to be conformed to the image of His Son by getting a blessing. You can't be conformed to His image by getting a blessing, but by surrendering totally and wholly to the will of God and becoming absolutely dependent upon Him. Christ learned obedience through the things that He suffered. Does that mean God's going to let the devil at you? No. God is going to let you come to an end of yourself and let your flesh break down. Can you say amen? God will not add His strength to your confidence in yourself. To them that hath no might, He increases strength. God has to become the supreme source of your life so that we don't, amen, begin to use substitutes for what He has promised and get down to the issue of why can't I receive what God has promised? Why can't it be manifest in my life? I had to deal with that going through nervous exhaustion. I had to get into an introspect. I had to ask the Lord, why can't I be delivered? What has brought this on? What am I doing that I need to quit doing? What am I not doing that I need to do? What doors have I left open? Do I need to shut? I entertained something that Paul said came upon him every day of his Christian walk in his calling. He listed all the things he'd been through, false brethren and all of that stuff. And he said, but there's something that is a constant. False brethren come and go. How many know they come and go? You think they're with you, but they're not with you. You think they love you, but they don't love you. You think that they're committed to you, but they don't care. Can you say, man, not only that, but sometimes they don't just leave you. Sometimes they turn against you and want to hurt you and harm you and demean you. And we've been through that. Any preacher that's preached as long as me has been among false brethren. Hello? I don't even want to talk about that. That's not daily. That just happens intermittently along the way. It's going to happen to you too. So don't look at me like, oh, he's been through some things. And everybody just loves me to pieces. And no, they don't just love you to pieces. Amen. Now, the few people will love you. But if you find a good friend throughout your whole Christian walk that loves at all times, because that's the definition of friend in Scripture. It's a covenant term, and I want to get back to the covenant as soon as we can. I love that message, and I want to preach some more of it. But if we don't get our hearts purged, nothing's going to take us very far. God wants to take us somewhere this morning. Amen. A friend loveth at all times. Amen? Amen? Very few people have found that kind of friend in this life. Christ is, that's why we think of there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, which is not about Jesus, it's about covenant relationships, period. It's in the Old Covenant, it's in the Old Testament, there's no star beside of it in a study Bible. We think of Jesus, you know why? Because we know he's that kind of friend. But we don't think of too many people like that in our life. Can you say, Matt, there's not too many people will love you when you are not lovable, or when you fail them, or when you hurt them, that they will love you in spite of you. My wife went through hormonal stuff. I don't even know if she remembers this, but she went through some terrible hormonal ups and downs. It's not an easy place. We men make jokes about you ladies going through that, and comedians make jokes about it, but it's really no laughing matter. It gets deadly serious. I mean, it gets super serious after a while. And you add the stress of ministry, and you live in a fishbowl, because ministers live in a fishbowl. Nobody's going to look at it. I hate to break this to you, because I know you're all dressed up this morning, but nobody's going to look at you as much as they look at me. Not this morning, because I'm up here with this, and I'm the pastor. Oh, by the way, you ladies, your hair looks great today. Your clothes look nice. But guess who? A visitor, anybody else? Where's the pastor's wife? She's right there. Guess what they're going to be looking? I've actually seen people when we were introduced somewhere to ministers' meeting or conference somewhere. That first thing they did, they looked at me and they sized me. I saw them go from my shoes to my head. And then they looked over at Pamela without making eye contact. It's kind of rude to do that without even looking at us, you know. Sizing them up. I remember sitting at a table in a TV studio when Channel 22 was first starting to grow, and I sit beside Carl Strader and some other dignitaries. I mean, you know, it wasn't RSVP. You just picked a table, and I was sitting there first. They seated us. Anyway, they sent me and my wife beside Carl Strader and his wife, and that's back when that church was just blossoming and blooming. We're sitting around there, you know, and everybody was kind of talking about their life, their ministries, and all of that, and we were feeling like two little mice sitting there, two little mice. We're just trying to be quiet, not draw attention, afraid somebody's going to ask. Didn't somebody ask?
Carl Strader said, "And who are you?"
Yeah, "And who are you?" I said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Can you say amen? I pastor in Suffering Springs. Amen. You think you got faith? You ought to preach where I preach on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? Every Sunday morning.
We were young.
Children of the, I would now. I pray. I'm not intimidated anymore, because God is God and we're just people, and no matter what kind of suit you wear, amen, underneath we all look the same naked. I don't mean the same, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anatomically, we're all pretty much the same naked. Yeah. Yeah. So the suit don't make the man, or the clothes the woman, or the jewelry. What makes us is character. When I first came into Pentecost, they wouldn't let you fix your hair like you ladies. Some of you ladies have on a little bit of light makeup this morning. So it's okay if you do, okay if you don't. Amen. But if you had on makeup, you were a Jezebel. You were bringing attention to yourself. If you cut your hair, you were violating God's code for holiness. So all of you ladies, without exception, you could be Miss Holy this morning. Can you say amen? You could win the Miss Holy contest today. Amen. And we lived under that. We lived under that. That's what we came into this in. I mean, legalism and liberalism are both wrong, but we came into the legalism thing. But did you know some of these people with that most holy outward appearance had the most critical spirit that you could ever encounter? And they would cut you to ribbons and have you sitting in a front row seat in hell if you crossed them. They didn't say the words, but they wished you would go there. Can you say amen? If you ever crossed them, you had to pay. Because they would pour it out and pour it on. Nothing of the character of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the sweetness of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus would rise up inside. Amen? Nothing like that. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about us and our righteousness. And it was holier than thou. And they looked down on everyone else. And my wife and I were trying to meet whatever the standard was. We figured they knew it, and we were reaching out for it. We did everything we could to try to be pleasing with God, except let Jesus be formed in our hearts and let His life be lived through us. I'm so glad that I'm free from that. Aren't you glad we're free from that? And we understand what this is really all about. That true holiness doesn't work from the outside in. It works from the inside out. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Some people have on earrings this morning. Amen. Earrings would get you disqualified from speaking in tongues or interpreting a message. Amen. Because that is Jezebel's stuff. If you did that. Amen. And a ring. I remember having a ring on. It wasn't nice as this little ring right here. Amen. I can't sell this if troubles come and pay off my house or anything. But it's a nice looking ring. It's ornamental. I've always liked a ring. I used to have a class ring I wore all the time and lost it. I've got on a watch here today. Amen. And my sleeves happen to be buttoned down to the... Well, I'd have to get my rings off to preach in certain pulpits. I'd have to pull my watch up. That's legalism. Amen. On the other hand, there's liberalism that says it just doesn't matter. God wants to bring us right back to the middle and say it's all about the heart. Oh, yeah. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can you say, man, now you're clean through what? Through what? Through what? That's why, amen, in Pentecostalism, you don't see many people generally speaking at Bible studies. They're not interested in the Word of God. They don't understand how God uses it to mature us and to grow us. You will find them in every anointing line that is possible by the droves and by the thousands. But you will not find them sitting under the Word of God, receiving and growing. Listen, I believe that God... Listen, how does faith come? Say it with me. How does faith come? How does faith come? Where does faith, the fruit of faith, the product of faith, the Holy Spirit actually is at work making that faith alive? Amen. Listen, but how does He do it? What does He use to accomplish that? Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. Amen. Hearing means consistently, not just having heard, but hearing. Everybody say hearing. Hearing. Consistently. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? Specifically, the Word of God. What is the seed that is sown on the various types of ground? It is the Word of God. Who is the sower? I'm going to preach this morning. But who is here to place that in the heart? I can get it to where your ear can hear it. But someone is here today that can actually put it in your heart and plant it there. Can you say amen? A sower went forth to sow, and the seed is the Word of God. Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit can put it in your heart today. When it finds a good ground heart, what does it do? The Word. It brings forth what? Shouting, dancing, speaking in tongues. What does it bring forth? Fruit. How much? 30, 60, and 100-fold. Every branch that bears fruit, He purges it. That means He prepares it to be more fruitful. That means He's going to address our hearts today. Our hearts today. In the parable of the sower and the seed, which is akin to the fruit-bearing scripture, because it's all agricultural terms, in John's Gospel, chapter 15, one of the things that happened as the fruit comes forth, because one of those fruit, there's the fruits in our character, love, joy, peace, but there's also faith and hope and love. When faith comes alive, the fruit that's produced by the seed received and the Holy Spirit working within our heart and our life, when faith comes alive, the Bible said, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You don't need substitutes anymore. You've got a source. He's faithful. You've got the faith to trust Him. And you start receiving from His hand. Can you say amen? Amen? And if we can't, then we need to open ourselves up and let our hearts be prepared for the seed. Because the seed will bring forth the fruit. The first thing Jesus talked about, and I've got to hurry. First thing Jesus talked about. Some seed fell on the highway. And that word highway in the actual Greek and the actual setting was a pathway. Everybody say a pathway. How many know they didn't have pavement back then? But people would cut across a field of wheat And they would cut across it so many times going somewhere, somebody's field of grain, that it would beat it down and the ground would literally be a path hardened by people constantly walking over it. And what happens when seed fell on that hardened ground that was untilled and unprepared, unbroken up? What happened? The fowls of the air said, hey, there's free seed today. Today is free seed day in this field. It's not under the ground. It's laying on top of the ground. And so they came and they swooped down and they began to grab the seed and eat it up. It couldn't grow because it was eaten up immediately. It didn't have a chance to take root and grow. And they said, well, tell us what this means. So he explained that ground to them. He said, when any person hears the word of God and understands it not, immediately Satan cometh. I'll tell you something about the devil and the word. He is fearful of Christians maturing to where we can receive from God and we can flow for God and we can be a witness unto Jesus wherever we are, because we are the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. Can you say amen? And he doesn't care if we run, dance, shout, speak in tongues, prophesy, get holy laughter. When we walk out of that door, if we're unfruitful in the things that will cause the world to recognize that we really belong to Jesus, he just doesn't care about that. He knows that's going to pass away. He knows that's not going to last very long. Can you say amen? I'm going to show you the people that look like they're in revival in a minute. Jesus is talking about the heart. That word understandeth it not. Now we could bring a scripture into that if we didn't dig deeper and say, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. That is not the Greek word. The Greek word that was used in the context it was used is all about a hardened heart. The pathway, the hardened ground, untilled earth. Everybody say untilled earth. I prepare a sermon. You're supposed to prepare your heart. Can you say amen? I prepare, and literally this morning, I didn't prepare this sermon, but I did prepare myself. And I find out that preparing me is more important than preparing the sermon, because if God wants to do something, he can do it. He can turn me on a dime, and you can hear from his heart spontaneously. And I take the risk of going off into areas, no, there's no risk if I know it's God. I know it's God today. I know where he wants to take us. I know why we started early on with purging. I know what he wants to reveal about our hearts. Your heart and mine is one of those four categories that Jesus talked about. And it will determine the fruitfulness of the word within us. And it will determine whether we grow or whether we get excited for a while and the devil just waits and bides his time and said, that won't last. That won't last. There are people that hit altars, but it don't last. Amen. Because it wasn't authentic. And I'll show you why people do that in a minute. Jesus talked about all of that. He wants us to have the peace that he offers. He wants us to have the power that's available. He wants us to be able to be anxious for nothing, to really trust him with it and have joy in our life. He wants us to not read the paper and be filled with all kinds of uncertainties. Amen. He wants us to have faith in him that is unshakable when everything else shakes. He wants us to fit the profile of the righteous man. He's not afraid of evil tidings because his heart is what? Fixed, trusting in the Lord. He doesn't want me looking at your expression this morning, because you may or not be totally receptive to this and you may be taking it wrong. That's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about obeying him and giving you what he wants you to know. One thing I'm going to tell you, everything I'm telling you is in that book that we hold sacred and we hold dear. It is the word of God for God's people and the fivefold ministry. I am fitting two of those categories. In fact, most of the Bible scholars don't call it pastor and teacher as two separate entities, but a pastor and teacher, because you can't be a pastor if you don't teach God's people. That's why a pastor can't build his ministry just on healing or just on some kind of special gift. He has to build it line upon line, precept upon precept, on the word of the living God. He is set where? In the church. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher. Everybody say pastor and teacher. Can you? If somebody's going to teach you, they need to take the responsibility for covering you. Can you say amen? Amen. You're either an evangelist, you're an apostle, you're a pastor and teacher. But you're not just a teacher with no further responsibility. I'm not talking about Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about addressing the body of Christ. You can't just come in and lay something on God's people and not assume responsibility for them as a shepherd. The hireling flees when the wolf comes. But the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He said, the wolf will have to go through me to hurt them. When any man hears the word and understandeth it not, it simply means the heart is unprepared. You're going to seek the Lord, you just can't get where someone is flowing in an anointing. You have to prepare your heart for it. If you're going to truly seek the Lord, it's not just going to a meeting. You've got to prepare your heart. The average Christian on Sunday morning comes to church with an unprepared heart. The average Christian doesn't prepare their heart to seek the Lord. They just bypass the preparation of the heart and just try to pick up a book, a Bible, or put on a tape. The Bible says this, break up your fallow ground. You're not farmers even in Plant City. You know what fallow means? It means unplowed earth. If you don't have a surrendered spirit and a hungry heart this morning, what I'm trying to do right now is going to be, you talk about a tough row to hoe. I got a tough row to hoe this morning because I'm trying to get earth that's supposed to be already prepared for the word of God, for the seed, so it can actually do something lasting, eternal, and Christ glorified in this service. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you. Sunday morning is usually a rush. Sunday morning is usually time compressed. Sunday morning is usually, and a lot of people, until Sunday morning, don't even think about God. We're so busy through the week, Saturday. If we spend Saturday night with HBO, I guarantee you won't be ready for the word on Sunday morning. I don't care what's playing. It doesn't matter because the heart is not focusing on the Lord. Amen. I love to go to the drive-in. I love to go to the Skyway drive-in theater, pick a movie that's, Silver Moon, I mean. Skyway is way back before that. It's back in the day, amen, when Skeeters would just take you out in Tampa Bay and gnaw on you. It was bad down at the Skyway. But anyway, it's Silver Moon in Plant City. You know why? It's nostalgic. I used to go there and watch movies with my sweetheart when we were, just going together. And to go to a drive-in, and it's the same drive-in. And you get that popcorn, and you let down the windows, and you just, I don't know, it's just fun for us. And there were times when I would finally get a Saturday off and something good be planned. I thought, we never, ever, 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 ever went on a Saturday night. Why? Why? Why didn't you go? Because you don't just flip this on and flip it off and flip it on and flip it off. You don't just walk in that door and flip it on and there it is. Saturday night, I'm preparing my heart for today. Around 5 o'clock Saturday, nothing much matters. And no matter what I'm doing, my thoughts, we'd be driving in the car, my thoughts. Sometimes my wife will tell me, you watch me close on Saturday because I might miss the turn because I'm thinking about Sunday, late Saturday afternoon. I'm trying to get the heart and mind of God late Saturday afternoon. I'm trying to get a seed thought for Sunday. Because if I get the seed thought, the word of God's dwelling in me richly. If I get the seed thought, amen, the sermon's going to come. But I need the seed from the Lord. And to get the seed from the Lord, I need a prepared heart. Can you say amen? The average Christian's busy right up until 10 o'clock Saturday night when you have to think about what you're going to wear Sunday morning. And that thought is about what you're going to wear, not your heart preparation. And then Sunday comes, we rush to church and we rush in and here we are. Break up your what? Fallow ground, unplowed earth. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. You can't seek the Lord until the issues of the heart are addressed and you prepare it for that. Break up your fallow ground. When any man hears the word, when the word of God is sown on that highway, it's unprepared earth, unbroken, unprepared, unsurrendered soil. Their pastor is going to preach this morning. They know that they have an unsurrendered audience. And they dare not challenge them on that issue if they want to keep their audience. They're going to give them something that doesn't challenge, doesn't change, doesn't purge. Why? Because they're not surrendered. They didn't come in surrendered. They're not going to leave surrendered. Can you say amen? And so what they're going to do, they're going to deal with that same immature group of people throughout their tenure at that church. That church can build buildings. That church can grow numerically. How many know you can add people to a church with immature people in the church that have never grew up? Can you say amen? You can never purge that church. You can never bring a message that purges. You can preach faith every morning and everybody will say, yes, let's believe God. Can you say amen? But in terms of what the agenda of God is to conform us to the image of who? His Son. The fivefold ministry is to bring us to the fullness of the measure of the stature of who? Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If we're not becoming more like Him, we're not following God's agenda. Amen. We're wanting church our way, on our terms. And listen, I understand that tendency. If I get in a Holy Ghost service where God comes down in such power, I want that replicated next Sunday. In fact, if I had my way and didn't understand God's eternal purpose, I'd want to shout and service every single Sunday of my life. Because I love to shout. Paul said, I love to talk in tongues. I love to talk to God. I love to praise God in tongues. I just get exhilarated when I'm in the Holy Ghost that deep. But he said, though I speak in tongues more than anybody. When someone enters our congregation, I'd rather speak. And he said, I do speak in tongues more than you all. You're a tongue-talking man. Everybody say he was a tongue-talking man. But he said, if someone enters our assembly that is unlearned, I'd rather speak 5 words in wisdom so that he can learn something, know something, be exposed to what Christ has done on the cross for him. Amen? Don't prepare your heart. Satan's going to steal the word. It will never even get an opportunity to grow. Lays right on top of the ground. First category, unfruitfulness. Everybody say unfruitful. Let's go to the second real quick. There are those who hear the word and with joy receive it. But the sun comes up and burns it. I said, what's this all about? Persecution arises for the word's sake, Jesus said. Hello? How many know that if you make a commitment to live for God and you get around your flaky friends that are not living for God, that you're going to get persecuted for your stand? And you're either going to consent to go back into sin and run with them again, birds of a feather, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what that means in the Greek? Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Amen. Every tree is known by what? The fruit it bears. Not its profession, but in reality. The world is not blind. They don't read the sign on the tree or on the pot. You know what I'm saying? You know what they read? One thing. They don't need to look any further. They don't need to say Presbyterian, Lutheran, amen, Pentecostal word person. All that's baloney to them. There's one thing that they notice. Whatever's hanging on those limbs. Or whatever's not hanging on those limbs. Can you say amen? Every tree is known by what? By the anointing, by tongues, by prophecy. Every tree is known by the fruit it bears. So make the tree good and its fruit good. Be authentic, in other words. Or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Be real and admit you're not where you need to be and you're not what you're supposed to be. God says, don't play with this thing. Be open and be honest. That's purging, isn't it? And a lot of people simply don't want a ministry of purging. There are ministries with 30,000 people in the audience. Hundreds of thousands by media. Who won't have one purging word in a year of sermonizing. Not one purging word to make us more like Jesus Christ. Not one. Why? Because that 30,000 people wouldn't sit under a purging word. Because they didn't come to church to be purged. They came to be petted. And they want to be stroked every Sunday. There are people who follow anointings and anointed ministers as Christian groupies. I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. Wasn't just for that day. It's of this day. That is the ministry that they say they receive from. Literally, that's what they've set themselves on. You can't even get these people in a local church anywhere to do any real good for God. They stay glued to their television. As much as some of the kids out in the world are glued to MTV. Hello? How many know that minister can't address the immediate need of that person that's got a televised ministry to the world? That's not going to happen. They need to get in church. Forsake not the assembly of yourself. Where? Around your televisions. No, together. Everybody say together.
Together.
He planted us in groves, didn't he, church? Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad that he did? Amen. I said, what is this ground falling on stony ground and the sun comes up and kills it when it starts up? What does this mean? He said, when anyone hears the word and with joy he receives it. With joy. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Say it again. It sounds so good up here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, glory.
Glory.
Boy, that sounds good, don't it? If that was happening this morning while I was preaching, by the way, it hasn't happened yet. But if that was happening this morning while I was preaching, amen, I might think, and people listening, looking on might think, that those people, everybody that's doing that, is really going to receive the word of God in a good ground heart and be fruitful. How can you not? You're saying amen and hallelujah. You're excited. You're enthused. You're receiving the word with joy. Oh, by the way, the content of preaching usually determines that. What I'm preaching usually determines that.
Amen.
Now, if I was saying that the Lord, you've got a covenant God, and he's in relationship with you, and you can claim these covenant promises, and God Almighty is going to do this for you, and that for you, and this for you. Amen. Hallelujah! With joy I receive that. Well, you can't just receive that. You've got to receive the rest of it.
Yes.
Same Lord has other things to accomplish than just bless you and give you the stuff you want. Some things he wants from us. He wants our surrender. He wants us to line up with his eternal purpose. He wants us like his son. Everybody say like his son. How many know there's room to grow? If there's room to go, then we have to be, not rooms to go, but room to grow. If there's room to grow, then we have to open our heart to a purging process. Amen? We have to get rid of our substitutes for what the Lord has to offer. And if we can't receive what the Lord has to offer, we have to ask ourselves honestly, what is the issue here? I had to ask myself honestly, why am I having nervous exhaustion? Why am I near collapse? What did I do wrong? And how do I correct it? God could have healed me, amen, like that. But he wanted me to learn some lessons. He wanted me to learn what I'm teaching you right here and right now. Can you say amen? What kind of audience? And with joy they receive it. It happened to Ezekiel. He thought this is the grandest revival I've ever seen. And God told him before he got to preach again to them and prophesy to them, they come to you as one that plays skillfully upon an instrument. They look at you under the anointing, declaring the word of God, and they're happy to hear it. But in their heart of hearts, they will not listen to what you're saying. They won't take it to heart. It won't last past the door. It won't incorporate into their life. They won't hear you because they won't hear me, but they love to hear you preach. And how can you receive the word with joy and not be fruitful? Because it fell on stony ground. Jesus said it had no depth of earth. When people heard it, they didn't make a commitment to Christ and his lordship. They didn't make a commitment to the Spirit and his leadership. They just enjoyed seeing someone that wasn't so monotone and boring speak. Somebody with enthusiasm and passion delivering them the word. But they didn't have a heart to take it and apply it to their life. And when persecution arises for the word's sake, and it always does. Everybody say for the word's sake. You know why? You know why all, I'm going to use the term because the devil's behind it. You know why all hell breaks loose in your life? Sometimes after God has challenged you so strong in his word, You know why? It's persecution for the word's sake. Because if you keep focused and you keep it watered and you keep the weeds out, can you say amen? It's going to bring forth fruit in your life, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And the devil knows that. So he's got to stir up some. He's got to come against you somehow. He's got to strongly come against you to get your focus off of what you're to be focused on. Can you say amen? And if you don't have a commitment, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall away. Sun's going to scorch it. This is tragic because the seed actually got in the ground this time. Amen? It actually came up. It's in its little tender stage. But persecution comes and immediately we cave in. We cave in. We give in. And it's all coming for what? The word's sake. Evidently this is so important and so terrifying to the enemy that a church could actually become more like Jesus. And that where you work and I work and where we interact, that the fragrance of Him, not just our quoting Scripture, our biblical knowledge, but the actual fragrance of Him could come. That we could become soul winners without trying. City set on a hill which cannot be hid. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody give Him glory in here. God wants to help us glorify His name and use us evangelistically. My heart gets where it's supposed to be. My heart gets good ground. The Word brings forth fruit. Sinners are converted unto Him and transgressors learn His ways. They respect me enough to honor my life lived for Him. And they learn His ways. Amen? Incredible things happen. Even evangelistically. Amen? Your witness starts counting. Not just your biblical knowledge, but your witness. Men will see what? Your good works. And they will do what? Glorify your Father. They say, God is doing that through him. God is doing that through her. Hallelujah. God is in that life. Evidenced in that life. Hallelujah. Let me hurry. Then there's the third area of heart. The word of God is planted. The seed is planted. It comes up. But the weeds choke it. The weeds choke it. It's got everything it needs. All the potential is there. But the weeds choke it. I said, Lord, what does this mean? He said, anyone hears the word, receives it into their heart, but the cares, and it actually comes up. That plant is alive and well and thriving. But the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. What is the deceitfulness of riches? What does money do? It buys you stuff. And what does the world promise? That this will make you fulfilled. This will make you happy. This is worth compromising your faith, compromising everything in your life to get, because this is what you need to be happy. That is a lie out of the pit of hell, because the people that's got it are not happy. Amen. They're always reaching for more, always grasping for more, ever getting, but never getting enough. Hopeless prisoners of the prison house of want. Amen. It is so good to have godliness with contentment. Having food and raiment and Jesus and being in His eternal purpose and finding contentment with that. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. The cares of this life. What is that? The cares of this life. It's all the things that we think must be addressed by us at the expense. That means it could be anything. All the things that we feel we've got to address at the expense of focusing on Him, the development of our soul, our spiritual enrichment, that we have to address all of these things. We're driven to address all of these things. We can't be still. We can't be quiet. We can't be focused for very long. We got to go. We got to get this done. We got to do that. We got to take care of this. Listen, what about Mary and Martha? What was Jesus trying to tell us about getting their heart prepared for the Word so it can be fruitful? This big entourage comes with Jesus to Mary Martha's home, and Martha sees one thing. Dear Lord in heaven, we're not ready to feed these people. We got to prepare a meal. And she's out in the kitchen rattling them pots and pans. And Jesus is teaching. Did you know when Jesus taught one time, when all those thousands were fed, did you know what caused Him to work that miracle of feeding them? Because they sat for 3 days without eating or drinking. Hanging on His every word. Woo! You didn't feeding the thousands came after they had sat for 3 days focused on what he was saying, not what he was doing. There's not one recorded healing, not one recorded miracle. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm so anointed to bring you this message. There was not one recorded miracle until he fed them. They didn't come for the miracles. They came for the word. And when they all rejected him and left him, they said, "Where could we go?" He said, "Will you lead me to where could we go? Because you have the words of life."
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen? Yeah. You have the words of life. You have them. Everybody that's got a Bible, hold it up for just a minute. Glory to God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder and separating the marrow from the bone and the soul from the spirit. Honey, this thing is the only book in the world that differentiates between your mental person, your brain, your mind, and your emotions, and your eternal spirit. Not just food for your intellect. This is food for your soul, your spirit. The words that I speak to you, they are more than intellectually true and theologically factual. They are spirit and they are life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The cares of this life. The deceitfulness of riches. And everything else we don't immediately give to God. Other things entering in our heart and our mind choke the word and cause it to become unfruitful. What Satan couldn't do himself, we do in complicity with him without even realizing. When I entertain worry, my focus is no longer on the word. And guess what's going to happen? Same thing that happened to Peter when he got out of the boat. When he saw the storm, he saw the wind, he began to sink. But when all he saw was Jesus and the word that he spoke, he walked on water. Isn't that incredible? But other things. Everybody say distractions. This world is full of them. You have to make a real commitment to stay focused. When it says looking unto Jesus, it doesn't mean glancing at him from time to time throughout the week. When you've had a bad day and you really need help, you try to find him somewhere. It means to set your gaze upon him. It means that we start the day with Jesus, we end the day with Jesus. And all through the day, amen, no matter what we're doing, Jesus is involved somewhere in that process. Amen. When I felt a cool breeze when I worked for Tampa Electric and I was out on a day when people getting bear caught and I felt a cool breeze, I recognized the presence of God and I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. When somebody gave me a spam sandwich when I left my stuff home, I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Can you say amen? I wanted Jesus involved in my life. I want it 24/7. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I'm doing yard work, I want to thank Jesus for health in my body because I go to places and see people in all kinds of physical disabilities. Amen. There's a lady in the nursing home that worked in the nursing home laying in the bed and can't move and can't express herself beside my mother. And she looks like a relatively young woman. But she had a stroke. And there she lays in a nursing home with all these people that are way up in years. And if you think you have to be to that stage of life to be put in that state, you're very, very wrong. An aneurysm in your head can take you out of this room right now and out of this world right now. And it could be building without a symptom. And I'm saying that there's no guarantee I'll be back here tonight, except the Lord wills. Amen. So all this other stuff, we need to quit worrying about so much. We need to concern ourselves with his agenda, and that is becoming more like his son by focusing on his son. Can you say amen? We're becoming what we're beholding. And as we behold, as in a glass, reflected in the word of God, his face, amen, what happens? We are changed. What happens? We are changed. Everybody say we are changed. Hallelujah. Amen. We are changed into what? Amen. We're changed into mighty anointed warriors who see ourselves as the heroes of faith. No, we're changed into his image. There's that agenda again, isn't it? As we behold is in the what? Word of God. Whose face? His face. What does the face tell you? It tells you what the person really is. You see them as they are. Someone could say, Velda has blue eyes. She has blondish hair. Real blonde hair. Can you say amen? She's tall. She's thin. She's middle-aged. Like I said, tall, thin, middle-aged woman. Are you middle-aged? What is middle-aged now? 35 like you are? Oh, okay. He goes up. Oh, I'm middle-aged. Okay, you're still young. Okay, she's young. She's thin. She's tall. She has blue eyes. She has a beautiful smile. She's got blondish hair. She wears sandals. Brothers are not sandals. They're pretty shoes with the thing in the middle. She's got red toenails. Hey, if you're going to wear shoes, listen, if you're going to wear open-toed shoes, go ahead and let them paint them suckers. Hey, man. If I had red toenails, I'd be wearing thongs right now. Don't ever get me a pedicure. No one will ever see it but me, and I really don't care. Anyway, but pedicures for women is great. You can describe her to me all you want to. Amen? And did you know something? I could go out in a mall and say, that must be valid right there. There's a tall woman with red toenails. Fits the age. She's got blue eyes and blondish hair. That's got her. Hey, Valda, how are you? My name is not Valda. Leave me alone, you pervert. Can you say amen? That's what they do in the mall. Amen? Oh, yeah, they think all kind of things about you. My wife went to, trying on, not lingerie, but I was hanging out in Dillard's over there, and I didn't walk up with her. She said, meet me over in the, where you get your, underwear and stuff like that, underpinnings and things. And, well, it's not really... it's not the see-through stuff. It's just the regular stuff that you need. And lingerie makes me think of Victoria's Secret. And, hey, honey, Victoria ain't got no secrets. Don't kid yourself. That is a misnomer. Can you say, man? No, none whatsoever. Anyway, I'm standing over. So I get there late, because I've been looking around at different things, and I can't afford anything in the store, but I was hoping for a 70% off to 50% off, and that I, something like whatever, I looked at a shirt called $65 because it's got Tommy's name on it. I said, I don't even know Tommy. I don't know who he is, but his shirt ain't worth $60. It's made out of 100% cotton. It's made in Taiwan. Can you say amen? How you want to... It's a cotton shirt, for heaven's sakes. I pay $65 for a sport coat. Anyway, moving right along. But anyway, so I finally end up over there, and she's in the room trying on things, so I'm just hanging out in the ladies' apparel. There's nobody over there but me. I'm just walking back and forth, trying to look nonchalant. I noticed the lady in the department looking at me. She's watching me, And I'm walking back and forth, and I thought, well, Pamela's going to come out and look for me in a few minutes, and I need to be here when she comes out so we don't get lost here in this store and can't find each other and miss our connection. I'm walking back and forth, and that lady kept looking at me, and I thought, she thinks I'm over here in the ladies' department, some kind of a nutcase, amen, going to steal some underwear or something, and I'm waiting on my wife to come out. Come on, Pamela, come on out of the room. Things can get misconstrued. Can you say amen? One thing is absolutely certain, no misconstruing about it. This is the seed. Yes. Your heart is the ground. And when the seed, the fourth level, Jesus said, but some of the seed, some of it fell on good ground. And that's the absence of the other three conditions. Yeah. It fell on the ground that was prepared, plowed up. It fell on ground that the stones had been removed from. Can you say, man, so the roots could grow deep before the plant grew up, rooted and built up in Jesus Christ? Can you say, man, there's a real commitment there. Oh, shalamanita tadamasola bakitianda. Amen. Hallelujah. This is ground, amen, where the weeds grew up, but we took care of those weeds. Amen. That worry came, we cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against what? There's this other thing entering in. Here's this cares of this life. Amen. We cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And what happens when that thing is coming up to eclipse the knowledge of God and the peace and comfort that folks focusing on Him brings. Amen. We bring every thought. Come on, there's the discipline of the mind. Come on, we bring every thought. Bring every thought, every thought. Everybody say every thought. Oh, come on, church. Let's get realistic today. This is the Word of God. Bringing every thought into captivity. To what? To the obedience of Jesus, who said, take ye no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. Set your heart and mind on the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Can you say amen? Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. If two of you on earth shall agree as asking anything that they shall ask, it'll be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Can you say amen? Heretofore you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. I do not say that I shall pray for you, for the Father himself loveth you. Can you say amen? Bring your thoughts into obedience of what Jesus is telling you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Word of God explodes, and the Word of God expands, and the seed brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold.
Hallelujah.
But it has to find the kind of soil. And that means we have to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why He purchases, so we can bring forth more fruit. Hallelujah. I do not want the world's substitute for God's peace. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I do not want the world's substitute for God's peace. I want that peace. It's available. It's promised. It's provided. I want it in my heart, ruling and reigning. Can you say amen? I do not want the world's substitute for happiness. Amen. I do not have to live in that 5-bedroom, 4-bath, 3-car garage home to be happy. I do not have to do that. The world says you got to do that to be happy. I'm telling you, you don't have to do that to be happy. Happiness can be achieved another way than just working 7 days a week so you can get that stuff at the expense of your soul, your spirit, and that good ground heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Happiness is finding contentment in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I've found it. I found the key to it. I've learned. I know how to abound. I know how to be lifted up without becoming prideful. I know how to be blessed without becoming materialistic. Can you say amen? I know how to abound, amen, without falling into sin or losing my focus on Jesus. I know how to be used in the gifts of the Spirit and not take credit for it, not be lifted up by it.
Yeah.
And I also know how to be abased, counted as nothing. Amen, my name cast out as evil, and people looking narrowly at me and wanting me dead. I know, amen, and he said, but I've found in whatever state I'm in, abounding or abasement, it doesn't matter. Amen. Everybody say abounding. Or a basement. Literally. Amen. He said, I've learned to be what?
Content.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For we brought nothing into this world. We can't take anything out of this world. But he said, I'll never leave you. Hallelujah. There's that focus that keeps the heart good ground. He said, I'll never leave you. That we might boldly say, in whatever state I'm in, the Lord is my helper. And I'm not afraid what the world or life or demons or devils or man will do unto me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? The word of God is like the rain that came down out of heaven. Ancient words, will you get that queued up, please? It's like the snow that came down out of heaven. My word is like the rain that comes down and the snow that melts, that watereth the earth, causes it to bring forth and to bud. So shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will accomplish that I desire. What does he desire? Fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That means it'll grow in us. Can you say amen? He sent his word to you. Most heartbreaking thing to a pastor is to not see true, authentic spiritual growth. after years of preaching. It's heartrending to see people in the same state of spiritual stagnation. I'm not talking about you unless it applies to you. You don't want to be the same next year, do you? Do you want to have the same hang-ups? Do you want to have the same defeats? You want the devil just to sit back and say, oh, give it time. That was a great service, but give it time. Give it time. Because I'm going to bring the pressures back. I'm going to put the pitfalls back. I'm going to put the temptations back. I'm going to put the pressure back on. 6 weeks from now, I'm going to lay it on them. How are they going to react then? God says, I want to equip you for whatever comes, whenever it comes, however it comes. Can you say amen? And this word of God is to fully furnish the children of God unto every good work. That means you are equipped with everything you need to get it done for God and to keep on getting it done for God until Jesus comes. Can you say amen? Fully furnished unto every good work. Fully equipped. Praise God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and every high thing. Boy, it has to be a high thing that we've let get above God in our life. Sometimes it's your hurt that eclipses God. I've been hurt, so I'm going to dwell on that instead of Jesus and His forgiveness and mercy. Amen? I have had people that blew a stack every so often, and they used their past. Every single time it happened, they talked about something that happened when they were growing up. They didn't see the departure point from that when you were born again. I've talked and counseled to people, Sean, that drank. They said, it's in my blood. My dad was an alcoholic. They didn't see coming to Christ as a departure from that. And they didn't see their new family tree. Can you say amen? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Now you are what? The sons of your alcoholic fathers. The sons of your incestuous fathers. No, you're the sons of your mighty saving God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Whatever was in your family tree has been altered radically and changed because you got a brand new family tree. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. His royal blood now flows in your veins and in my veins. And demons might as well to tremble and devils might as well to back off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not a captive to my past. I'm not a captive to my gene pool. I'm not a captive to my family characteristics anymore. As I behold as in a glass his face, I'm changed into his image, even from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise. The Holy Ghost goes to work. I stand ready to grow you. To make you fruitful. And to give you a testimony and credibility with those that you declare me to. Because they see that you are the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. This has been a purging word today. I feel clean in this service. I feel my heart just like Roto-Rooter. Amen. Just cutting through everything that inhibits the flow of the Holy Spirit in me. Can you say amen? I'm really in church this morning. I'm on God's wavelength. I'm in sync with His agenda today. Hallelujah. I'm one of those ministers. He said in the church, I didn't just come here to make a name for myself. If I was out for a name for myself, I wouldn't be here to do it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No, I'm here because I'm set in the church. I'm a pastor, teacher, and God has set me in the church to challenge, amen, so God can change. To purge, so God can purify. Amen. To bring His unadulterated word, amen. Listen to me. So we can become the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And that fruit of faith is going to come in some of your hearts, not because you're trying to have faith, but it's just going to be as normal as an orange tree. Amen. Bringing forth oranges. The blossoms are coming already and the fragrance of Him is starting to come forth. Hallelujah. And you know what's coming behind that fragrance, Ditter? Fruit is coming behind that fragrance. When I smell orange blossoms, I know something. My tree's getting ready to bear fruit. Those blossoms are telling me that fruit is coming. That fragrance is telling me that fruit is coming. When the fragrance of Him starts being smelled upon us, fruit is coming into our hearts and into our lives. Can you say amen? The gentleness, the goodness, the kindness, the joy, the peace, and the love. The temperance, the patience. It's coming because we're receiving the Word of God and letting it purge us and prepare our hearts for it. Hallelujah, into good ground. Mishulabakisi andadamasete. Preshalabaha. Letadamasandadamatia. Koshalaba. You'll get up and next time you face a crisis, peace is going to rule. Peace is going to overrule and peace is going to reign. Handamashulababaha sataya. You're going to give your loved ones to God. Leave them with God. If it takes a lifetime, amen, it doesn't matter. Give it to God. Don't carry it and let it choke the word in you. Praise God. Give it to God. God can handle it. Won't you to get past your past. You're past the point of no return. You're past the departure point. Leave it behind. Don't use it as an excuse. Don't let the devil use it as leverage against you anymore. This is the now. This is the new you in the now. How somebody's coming out of a prison. I'm telling you, somebody's going free today. When I started, it was cold as ice. Amen. The devil knew which road I was going to go down this morning. I don't know what kind of time you had before I got here, but when I got here, God gave me an assignment, and the devil knew, amen, where it was going to head. When he heard the word seed, he came immediately to steal the word. But I'm telling you something, amen, the seed is getting through. The seed is getting in. It could change your demeanor. Maybe you could get rid of your negativism. Maybe you could see God moving and seeing the flaws and the shortcomings all the time. We are going to have them till Jesus comes. Get your eyes off of them. God is moving in this people. God is moving in this church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Quit looking at everybody else and go look at yourself in a mirror.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't pray and look to see what everybody else is doing. Go look in a mirror and see if you've changed. Maybe God changing you will have an effect on somebody else. Maybe seeing you full of joy for a change. Maybe seeing you flooded with His peace. Maybe seeing you just loving and kind. Maybe hearing a good word from you. Amen. A good report from you. Amen. Maybe that would lift somebody else up that's carrying a heavy load and a heavy burden. Maybe you recognizing that God is at work in this congregation. Can you say amen? Instead of seeing our obvious needs. We all got needs. You got them too. Why don't you grow with the rest of us and grow together and see the good. Amen. To the pure, all things are pure. God wants to get your heart pure so you can see the good when it comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just sing this last song. How many are going to go on this journey with me? I want purging. Amen. I come to church to be challenged and changed. Praise God. Because I want to obtain the favor of the Lord in my life. Praise the Lord. Just bring that up. Let's worship Him in this last song. It's time to get on.